Good morning, Lee.
Howdy there, Tara.
You know, I wonder what it's like for these experts to be wrong all of the time. At some point, that's not an accident. Okay? Like, you know, we got experts. We got them on TV. They come out and commentate on all the economic news, all of that. And it, you know, I mean, you expect someone to be wrong, right? They're human.
Eventually. But
they have amassed an incredible record of being wrong all the time. It's almost as if when it comes to, oh, I don't know, Trumpnomics, it's almost as if there's something else going on here besides telling the public what's going on financially. From Fox Business, they got as hung up in this as CNBC and CNN and Bloomberg and all the big lying business outlets. 100% wrong. If you can find anybody that got this right, whether it's their host, their anchors, their guests, please send it to me. I'll play it. Again, as I've been saying, if you had said back in the week of liberation, the day of liberation, Trump tariff day in April, if you'd said, well, you know, I think it's going to work out great, that would have been your last time on American financial television. You'd have to join everybody who got this rightly on X, but you wouldn't be allowed to be on television. At some point, we have to reconcile these people are not here to give you financial advice or honest coverage of anything. They're there to help the Democrats and the globalists. What you're watching on your news television is not real. It's as fake as COVID was, as fake as the Russia collusion hoax was. It itself is fake. I want to remind you of what it sounded like. And by the way, obviously I'm setting up to go to Trump 3% GDP growth. That wasn't supposed to happen. This is just back in April. It's only July.
This is an economic Armageddon that's coming for the U.S. consumer and the economy.
You see all of his cabinet members, his other aides, going on TV and you know, glorifying the tariff-mageddon we have just been through and are still going through.
President Trump shrugs as the stock market plunges and the dollar weakens amid warnings that his tariffs could throw the United States into a recession.
He's cruel. He doesn't care. He wants to hurt people. He just wants Biden back. And it went on and on and on and on.
It was very clear that these tariffs are going to be passed on to American consumers and are going to slow down the economy.
The best hope for our economy is that there will be enough damage to markets quickly that the administration is led to correct.
They have created havoc in our economy, economy that was improving, and now we have people out there scared to death.
Well, I mean, we do have people in there, in the newsrooms, at the business channels, but Lee, what about the people out there who are scared to death, those people? Were they really out there? No. What these people were doing in these two montages I just played for you, they were trying to burn down the economy. They were trying to scare people badly enough they would dump their stocks. They were trying to crash the stock market. In fact, they already telegraphed what they wanted. They said this was going to be April. They reported it as fact, the worst month in terms of stock market crashes since the Great Depression. That was a banner on Drudge. It was coming. There was nothing that could be done about it. The world was going to end. And again, they were acting as economic arsonists, Lee. They were trying to burn it down. And folks, if this had been 2020, 2021, when the FBI still had a headquarters inside of X and could censor anything they wanted to, they may have pulled this off. But after the Biden regime, no one believes them anymore. After the hoaxes, the Russia hoax, the COVID hoax, the shot hoax, on and on and on, the Hunter Biden laptop hoax, everyone's like, yeah, blah, 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 right, whatever. Who got this right? I love this part of the story, Lee. Mom and pop investors, 97%, took a look at that hysteria and went, they're lying. And they hung on to their stock. I love this clip. It's from Scott Bessent on why the market didn't crash, because those lunatics, those economic arsonists I just played for you, no one believes these globalist hacks anymore. And here's Scott Bessent, Treasury Secretary, explaining why the market did not crash, because mom and pop did not dump the stocks in their 401k.
The Vanguard, one of the largest money management firms in America, said that over the past 100 days, 97% of Americans haven't done a trade. And in fact, individual investors have held tight while institutional investors have panicked. So individual investors trust investors trust President Trump.
Megan. What they were trying to do was effect a robbery, get mom and pop to dump their stocks at a low so that they, you know, dump them at a low, dump them at a loss. Right. And what, how did that work out? Good news for you if you didn't listen to these hacks. Here's CNN Business Now. Here's what this sounds like now after the European trade deal.
Is this a fantastic deal then struck by Donald Trump and just terrible negotiation on the part of the EU? I mean, how do you...
I think that's an accurate assessment. Obviously, it's better than not having any deal at all, at 30% or something. But this is really a wasted opportunity, I think, for the EU and absolutely a victory on behalf of the Trump administration.
Here's Josh Hammer, Newsweek senior editor. He's on Sky News stammering.
You know, Rita, Donald Trump is the only man that I've ever seen who flies over to Scotland, the home of golf, to play some rounds of golf with his family to usher in a new Trump-affiliated golf course redesign. And he comes home bagging one of the greatest, most historic trade deals in the history of modern commerce. I mean, this is truly historic stuff. And, you know, whether it's really getting the better of Ursula von der Leyen and the European Union bureaucrats, whether it's the massive, massive trade deal of the United States just reached with Japan about a week and a half ago. We had a deal with the Philippines in the interim. That kind of flew under the radar. By the way, holding trade aside just for a second there, he also reached a ceasefire deal between Thailand and Cambodia. I mean, this is just like, it's just a rapid fire, win after win after win. I mean, I have never experienced, frankly, this much winning from a president in my life.
What do you think of all this?
It is just stunning. I mean, it's like, drinking from the fire hose, all the stuff that is going on here. And it's, you know, Europe didn't have an option because the thing, whether or not, you know, this country is strong financially or not, we are still the world's largest consumer market.
Yeah. And there was, it turns out, a lot of power in that.
Yes.
If people want to be a part of it.
If you want to be able to sell your goods or services here, you've got to deal with Donald Trump.
Yeah. And India is facing that problem right now. They're going to have to make a choice.
They're going to have to make a choice between supporting the U.S. or Russia.
They are.
And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. That's what trading partners do.
Exactly. And I had somebody make a comment. We can't just dictate to the world who they buy from.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
Yes.
Yeah, we can. You know what? Hey, we are India's number one trading partner, okay, in terms of we buy more of their stuff than anybody else. If they don't want to sell it anymore, you know, what you know, do you know what their per capita GDP is? You know, in other words, the average amount people make in India? $3,000.
Yeah, I was fixing to say it had to be low because they have such a huge population and their economy is nowhere near as large as ours, although it is significant.
And look, you know, they're free to do what they want. They, you know, they want to trade with Russia.
Yeah.
How much stuff you sell to Russia, India? Oh, that's between 2 to 3% of your exports. Good luck with that. Mm-hmm. Good luck with that. You guys going to go, what? You're going to take it for your per capita income from 3,000 down to 2? Good, fine. Yeah, be my guest. Whatever. We're not going to make you do anything with missiles. And here's the thing. We spent almost four decades projecting U.S. power with blood and missiles.
Yeah.
And that was mostly because a lot of these contractors and ordnance manufacturers wanted to get rich. And we didn't use our economic power at all. And Trump is just crushing it out there using our economic power. And India's about to experience a great amount of pain. Because you know what? I have had it with it. You just, my blood boils when I see India. My blood boils. Because you want to talk about an economic sleeper cell, okay? Beginning of the month. Of July, They are meeting at a confab with the BRICS countries, mainly China and Russia, plotting to bring down our currency. Who do they think they are? I mean, do you know what Donald Trump just did for them? He forced Apple to move out of China, their supply lines, because they're stealing everything, all the technology, their phones, they're embedding in our phones, all of that. And he made them move the whole production line to India. Instead of India saying, oh, thanks, that's really cool, they go to a meeting to plot to bring down our currency? Screw you. Who do you think? We bring half your country here on H-1B visas. Maybe we need to rethink that. Maybe we need to find a better country to do that with that's not trying to steal our currency. I'm sure there's former Soviet republics where every average PhD speaks three languages. They're all engineers. Let's get some of them over here. Who do you think you are? And so he has just slapped them with those tariffs. Lee, you've heard me. I wanted to slap India with tariffs so badly. And he did. And he says, look, you want to keep buying Russian oil out the back door, plot to destroy our currency? Fine. You're going to have access to our markets. You have to pay a premium. We'll buy from someone else. All without firing a shot. It's fabulous. And the old Washington way was, well, they just want to destroy our currency. Maybe they'll succeed. Hey, let's just ignore that. Let's just do nothing. Let's just sit by and do an editorial every once in a while in Bloomberg about how this might end badly. And then, you know, watch, maybe our currency will fall, maybe it won't, but we won't do anything because it'd be gauche. It'd be embarrassing if we were to help ourselves. Well, Trump got up off the sidewalk after being sucker punched and said, you know what, we're going to help ourselves. And he punched back twice as hard. And look at the economic prosperity that comes with it. I'm so fired up. I'm so excited. And unleashing our energy as he just did over the last two days, getting rid of the single most destructive climate change barrier, regulatory barrier that Obama put up, just wiping it off the books so that we can unleash American energy. And wait till I tell you where that energy is going. I'll put it all together because, folks, this is not just one policy or one story. It is a massive economic policy of the remaking of America, finally.